and well at the end. Well, our text this morning is found in 2 Timothy. We're going to look at the 3rd and 4th chapters. So if you have your Bibles, open them up there on the coffee table where you are, and let us look at these two chapters. The Apostle Paul is concerned that the young new pastor, Timothy, and the church in Ephesus will not become disheartened and lose faith in their ministry. The practices and worship of the pagans were constantly attempting to compromise the Christian faith. Very similar to what we're going through right now, having to close our church doors to public worship. And yet, we don't want to be disheartened. We don't want to lose our faith. We don't want to compromise our Christian faith. It's not surprising that Peter saw the end was near also. When he wrote to Timothy here in the 3rd chapter, he starts the first verse with, "But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days." It may surprise you, but those words were first written by the Apostle Paul sometime around 66 or 67 A.D., long before skyscrapers graced the urban landscapes, centuries before the sound of jet engines racing through the sky was a reality. Far removed from the threatened bioterrorisms that we are always being told that's going to happen, decades before the civilized world even realized that North America existed, the Apostle Paul, who saw his own life coming to the close, penned those words of warning to one of his successors, his protege, Timothy. Already in the first century AD, Paul knew that the future of life on this earth didn't look too bright. What kinds of terrible things was Apostle Paul talking about? Well, he continues in verses 2 through 5 of chapter 3. He says, people will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. Now, isn't that the world that we live in today? A world that revels in the destruction of sin, marred by selfishness and thirsty for violence and reckless with words and hateful in actions and filled with hypocritical self-righteousness. Why? Because true love for God demonstrates itself in selflessness, in forgiveness, in self-control. And those are scarce in the world today. How do we know it's scarce? Well, just listen to the speaking that's going on the airwaves right now. Look at the headlines of our local newspapers. You know, even as we face terrorist attacks or we face this virus epidemic, a pandemic that we're experiencing, there are still far too many humans who remain preoccupied with self-preservation. Fear grips their hearts. Fear of the unknown. Fear that something terrible is going to happen to them, even death. They live with distress, anxiety, no joy, no peace. Well, I have good news for them. I have good news for you today. There is a solution to this problem. It's called faith. If you find this morning you in having that condition of fear, of distress, of anxiety, I want to suggest to you that faith is the solution to that condition. Faith, not fear. God has given us the resources to live an abundant life. And He's given it to us by His grace. And it comes through faith. Faith in Him. As we are told in Ephesians 2, 8 through 9, it says, "For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this is not from yourself, it is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." The answer still remains the same, because the root cause of all of our problems is still sin. There is still only one solution to that problem. That's why we listen to God's encouragement to Timothy that's offered to him through the Apostle Paul. In the face of terrible times, God encourages us to keep our faith alive. Now, keeping our faith alive means that we have to faithfully continue to be in the Word of God. It also means that by responding to God's faithful Word and His witnesses, we need to become one of those faithful witnesses, declaring and proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. Well, let's take a look. Faithful continues to be found in the Word of God. We continue with verse 14 and 15 of the third chapter of 2 Timothy. "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." Now, why would Paul point Timothy back to the Word to keep his faith alive and well? Only Holy Scripture could keep Timothy's saving faith alive and well, because only Scripture could make Timothy, according to Paul, wise for salvation. It will keep his faith in Jesus Christ alive and well. Now, this work had begun in Timothy's life when he was just a baby. From his birth, Timothy's mother and grandmother faithfully shared the good news of the Savior, the good news of the Holy Scriptures with him. Now, even in the face of terrible trials and difficulties and difficult circumstances, Paul assures Timothy that the Holy Scripture was exactly what he needed to keep his faith alive and well. What gives Holy Scripture this incredible power? He tells us in verse 16, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Paul tells Timothy very plainly that what gives Holy Scripture its power is that the very words that are recorded on its pages are words breathed by God Himself. This is often referred to as the doctrine of verbal inspiration. Not only did God give the human writers the thoughts of the Holy Scripture, He gave them the exact words. That means each and every word recorded on the original pages of the Holy Scripture is there because God Himself wanted it to be there. Oftentimes we read that the Lord said, write this down. The Lord came to that prophet or that minister and said, write this down. Paul heard directly from God, write this down. That makes this book, the Bible, the Holy Scriptures, different than any other. That's the wonder and the mystery of God's Word. Since these words are God's words, they are without error, they are timeless, and they are priceless. Since these words are the words of God, they are useful for teaching people about the only path to heaven. Because they are the words of God, the Holy Scriptures are therefore also useful as authority when it comes to identifying and encouraging attitudes and behaviors that are in line with God's definition of righteousness, and rebuking and correcting those that are not. So don't blow off what God's breathed. Keeping faith alive requires more than just gaining information from God's Word. It goes beyond the printed words. It's what actually is inspired and empowered by the Holy Spirit to motivate and transform people. The Holy Scripture works on the head and on the heart. It's not only changing thoughts, but attitudes as well. God's Word recorded on the pages of the Holy Scripture changed Timothy's heart by choking out that naturally rebellious heart and raising up a new heart of living, obedient faith in its place through the gospel. And so in verse 17 of our text, he goes on to say, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. The Scriptures, the Word of God, is unlike any other book you have in your home or in your library. The Library of Congress lays claim to be the largest library in the world, with more than 150 million items on approximately 838 miles of bookshelves. The collection includes more than 32 million books and other printed materials, 3 million recordings, 15 million photographs, 5 million maps, and 61 manuscripts. 61 million manuscripts. Boy, that's a lot of written material. Yet among all of these volumes, the only one that lays claim to being alive and powerful are the Holy Scriptures, God's Word. This places the Word of God in a unique category all to itself. The writer of Hebrews put it this way: "For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than a double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." The Word of God is living. The Word of God is alive. Actively alive. And as the tense used in the original, constantly alive. The Word of God is no dead letter. It is living. It is alive. And it will penetrate your very soul. The Word of God is not only a living word, but active. The Word of God is to be alive in you. In times like right now, the living Word in you, your attitude, your actions, testify who you put your trust in. You're living by faith in God or fear of the uncertainty and of the unknown, the very situation of chaos that we live in presently. One of the most dramatic examples of the Scripture's divine ability to transform men and women is involved in the famous mutiny on the Bounty. If you remember, following their rebellion against the notorious Captain Bligh, 9 mutineers, along with the Tahitian men and women, found their way to the Pitcairn Islands, a tiny dot in the South Pacific, only 2 miles long and a mile wide. For 10 years, all that was going on was drinking and fighting, and it left finally only one man alive, John Adams. There were 11 women and 23 children that made up the rest of the island population. So far, this is the familiar story that was made famous in the book and motion picture. But the rest of the story is even more remarkable. About this time, Adams came across the Bounty's Bible in the bottom of an old chest. He began to read it, and the divine power of God's Word reached into his heart, the one that had been hardened. It reached into this man's hardened heart on this tiny volcanic speck in the vast Pacific Ocean, and it changed his life forever. The peace and the love that Adams found in the Scriptures entirely replaced the old life of quarreling and brawling and liquor. And he began to teach the children from the Bible, from the Holy Scriptures, until every person on the island had experienced the same amazing change that he had found. As Holy Scripture testifies only a heart that is filled with confidence in Jesus' life and death and resurrection can actually produce works that are good in God's eyes. Because only that kind of heart truly rejoices in the opportunity to give thanks to God by living in joyful obedience to His will. Only Holy Scriptures gushes with the kind of confidence that flows like the river of blood out of our crucified Savior's side. It's that confidence that would thoroughly equip Timothy's life and faith for every good work, even when tough situations would arise. What was true for Timothy remains true for us today. Our strength and our salvation are found in the words of our God, recorded on the pages of the Holy Scriptures. We need a steady diet of those words to keep our faith alive and healthy as we face these terrible times. A live faith requires and demands that we read and study the Word of God. A daily diet of the Word prepares us for any and every situation that we may run into. Live and learn from the Word of God. My encouragement to all of you is to live and learn from the Word of God, from the Bible, from the Holy Scriptures. Is it possible that we are guilty of neglecting our faith by restricting it to a starvation diet of God's Word that is fed only 1 hour once each week on Sunday morning? God reminds us that our faith is kept alive and well as we faithfully continue growing in His Word. Today I want to challenge all of you to take and seize the moments, take the opportunity that has been given to us in our state of social distancing and staying in our homes. We have now time to spend in God's Word. This is not a time of spiritual distancing, but a time to listen and learn what God wants to reveal to us. Thankfully, He assures us that even if we have been guilty of neglecting our faith, those sins have been forgiven through the shed blood of His Son. Now, in thankful response, He urges us to faithfully continue growing in the good news that He desires to keep on sharing with us, found in the Word of God. We need to be responding to God's faithful Word. We are called to proclaim its truth. We are called to be faithful witnesses, because God's will to keep our faith alive through the hearing and learning of His Word, He calls men and women, you and me, to proclaim His Word. As God exhorts Timothy and all disciples through the Apostle Paul to be faithful in their work, He is also urging us to be faithful in the fulfillment of the Great Commission that Jesus Himself has given them and given us in His Word. He said, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." Paul, in our text, makes this even more clear to the church in Rome. If we were to turn to Romans 10:14, here is what Paul says. "How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? How can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can one preach unless they are sent? Now, don't get hung up on that word preaching. That's proclaiming. That's witnessing. That's more than just you standing up here or me standing up here. That's the living and active word of God that's in you, proclaiming the good news. Wherever you are, to whom you are with, you are the witness of the word. He goes on in verse 17 of Romans 10, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of God. As a minister, then Timothy is giving Timothy a job description in verse 2 of chapter 4 of 2 Timothy. He says, preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season, correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instructions. But wait, that's a job description for all of us, to be prepared in season and out of season, to tell people why we have such confidence, why we are living with such strong faith, because we have the Word of God. I'm sure that Timothy was eager to get out and share the word with people, excited to see how they would respond. After all, he had the very best news in the world to share. That's what makes Paul's next statement in our text a very sobering one. Verses 3 and 4, for the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itchy ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. The reality of living in a sinful world is this. Not everyone will respond with excitement when they hear the truth of sound doctrine pouring off Timothy's lips or off of yours. Paul also understands that it is entirely possible that there may come a time when some of Timothy's congregation may lose interest in listening to the truth that he was sharing. But that's no reason to quit preaching and teaching the truth and proclaiming the good news and living out your faith in the Word of God. Paul is reminding Timothy that because we live in a sinful world where our success cannot be measured by the number of people who respond to what we say, a successful minister or a trustworthy disciple of Jesus Christ is one who is faithful to the Holy Scriptures regardless of people's response. Even though people won't always respond to the truth the way God wanted them to, Paul exhorts Timothy not to get discouraged. Even though it would be tough, he should continue to do the work that he was charged to do. That's why Paul offers these words of advice. Look at verse 5. Keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. Timothy couldn't control the way the other people would respond to the gospel, but he could control the way he conducted himself as he shared the gospel. In doing so, Timothy would be an example of godly faithfulness that God would use to affect people's hearts and lives. That is an encouragement from God's Word, not only to Timothy, but to each one of us. Keep your head. Do not act out of fear, but put your faith in God and live out these times with confidence that God is in control. I want you to remember this. We studied this last week. That nothing happens without it filtering through the loving hands of our loving Father. God reigns. God is faithful. We can put our trust in Him. He is in control. You got that? He is in control. The church may have left the building, but the church is all out there in the world now. Maybe that's where we should have been in the first place. We are starting to confine ourselves to the building. Here is our opportunity. We need to respond to that word. We need to be joyfully sharing it with others because you know that through it, God creates faith and keeps it alive and well in people's hearts. I believe that's why you're moved to give your time and energy and talents that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Did you remember that? Not begrudgingly, but with thankfulness and joy in your hearts to God. That's why you gladly support this ministry with your generous tithes and offerings. That's why you keep this work and me in your prayers. Because in all of these ways, you are responding exactly the way God wants you to respond. To sound doctrine. The truthful, trustworthy good news that He shares with you through the Word of God. That keeps our faith alive and well. Yes, we may be facing terrible times, but these terrible times have no power over us because our God has given us the one thing needful, His Word. And His Word keeps our faith in Jesus strong and secure. While these may be terrible times, I'm thankful that our gracious God has given me the opportunity to face them with you, strengthening you and me with that precious news that's in His Word. We may be facing difficult times, but I'm grateful that God has blessed us by bringing us together to share in His work of gospel ministry at this time. Because through this word, God sheds His light of hope on the world that's fumbling in darkness, as He keeps our faith alive, filling our hearts with His love so that our lives might be lived in joyful service to Him and to one another. May God continue to bless us richly as He strengthens our faith in the one who lived, died, and rose again. Are you alive? Are you keeping faith alive? Come alive today. Keep our faith alive. Keep keeping alive by faithfully continuing to be in God's Word. keeping it alive so that by responding to God's faithful witnesses and becoming a witness yourself. Be the Word of God in the flesh. You have been equipped with what is necessary to perform good works. That's His promise. That's what He declared. Because of our present situation, we have the opportunity to demonstrate to the world that our faith is alive in Christ. Oh, it's so good to be able to put our trust in Him. Trusting in Jesus is the only way to live. Let God be in control. Let's put our trust in Him today. Gracious Heavenly Father, oh, how precious it is to put our trust in You. We call upon You this morning, no matter where we might be, what we may be doing. We put our trust in You to feed us from Your Word, to nourish us and keep us, to comfort us and relieve our anxiety and give us what it takes to be a living testimony of Your presence in our own lives as well as in our communities. To You we give all praise and glory this morning in the precious name of Jesus.